Yes, Jacob. Thank you for Christmas, everybody. Amen. Definitely. So we start our new series today. Again, just a brief word of encouragement for us, not a proper sermon, so don't stress. I'm not going to go for an hour or whatever, 10, 15 minutes max, so we can get to the AGM. But just a word of encouragement, because it's been a tough year, hasn't it? It's been an extremely tough year, probably harder than last year in many ways, I believe. And if you're anything like me, you may be tired, you might be fatigued. It's been a tough year, an extremely tough year, tough and hard year for many of us. But the beautiful thing about Christmas is that it is good news, amen? Good news for a change. And if you're anything like me, you've probably got out your devices. Yes, Jacob? Thank you for the breakfast, absolutely. Yes, yeah, that's right, it will be. If you want to keep him under wraps there, Kel, that'd be great. Just joking. So if anything like me, if you've got your device out, you've looked through and scrolled, all the news that's been on our screens, on our TVs, has been bad news, amen? Everywhere we look, even now with this new strand of COVID, and we pray in Jesus' name that he would rid the world of all this. But this is what our reality has been, particularly the last 12 months. But the beautiful thing about Christmas is that what we're going to be focusing on is the hope that we have in Jesus. The peace that only Jesus can provide, the love, the joy. This is good news for all people, amen? And so we want to be focusing on this season. So today we're looking at hope for a change very briefly, diving into hope. And the beautiful thing about hope is that it opens us up to a beautiful future. That's the purpose of hope, amen? Hope opens us up to the future. And that was very true for the nation of Israel back before Jesus was born. Hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, prophecies were given pointing to a Messiah that was going to come, the chosen one. The book of Isaiah, if you want to read through that this Christmas, that's a perfect example of these prophecies and the hope that the nation of Israel had pinned their hopes on. The promise of light that John talks about came hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. And then we see it come in John 1:1-4. True light has come into the world. That is ultimately what we come to celebrate at Christmas, amen? This is the good news that we should be looking to at this time. Because hope looks to the future rather than despairing over the present. And we see this particularly in Revelation 21:3-4. I'm going to read from the Passion Version. This is what it says in Revelation 21:3-4. Look, God's tabernacle is with human beings. And from now on, he will tabernacle with them as their God. Now God himself will have his home with them. God with them will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and eliminate death entirely. No one will mourn or weep any longer. The pain of wounds will no longer exist, for the old order has ceased. Does that passage not just fill you with hope as you listen to it? Not only did Israel were they given a hope of a future, we as followers of Jesus have a hope of a future too, amen? And that passage reveals at a time where there will be no longer any COVID. No longer any suffering, no longer any pain or hardship. This is the hope that we put, this is what we put our hope in at this time. Hope opens us up to the future, and it opens us up to the future because of the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this passage of John chapter 1, whether you realize it or not, it brings us to the realization of who Jesus truly was. John 1 tells us who he is. It also tells us what he has done and finally tells us what he promises us. So who is he? John 1 says, the word from the very beginning, it was God. Through him all things were made. In him was life. That's who he is. What he has done, he became flesh. He came to dwell with us. He put on human flesh. He made his neighborhood, or took up put on flesh and made his neighborhood with us. You know the beautiful thing about the Bible is, yes, Jacob.
Thank you for
the weather. Thank you for the weather. Amen. Definitely. The beautiful thing about the Bible, and when you go to the Old Testament, the last book in the Bible is Malachi. And then it goes into what? What's the first book of the New Testament? Matthew. But you know, in history, that didn't happen like that. Now, there's 400 years between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. 400 years. And 400 years where God did not speak to his people. 400 years where there was no message from God, no prophet speaking hope, hope of restoration. 400 years of waiting. And you can imagine a little boy going to their dad and say, "Dad, have you heard from God?" I don't know where you were, Jacob. But imagine someone Jakey's age saying, "Dad, have you heard from God?" "No, son, I haven't heard from God." What about grandfather? Has grandfather heard from God? "No, son. Grandfather's never heard from God either." What about great-grandfather? Did he ever hear from God? "No, son. Great-grandfather, great-granddad hasn't heard from God either." 400 years where God was just silent. And you would either think two things. One, that God is dead, or that God just doesn't really care anymore. 400 years of silence. And then, on the very first Christmas day, God broke that silence with a baby's cry. And it was in that moment that God proclaimed to each and every one of us that "I see you in your pain. I see you in your suffering. I see you in the hardships of life. I identify with you in all of that." My very first sound after 400 years is a baby's cry. I identify with you in your weakness, your suffering, your hardship. This is the hope that we have, amen. This is what we turn to at Christmas time. This is what he has done, becoming flesh, coming into our neighborhood. And what did he do? He promises us the right to become children of God. Light that cannot be overcome by darkness, amen. This is what he promises us. But this hope that we put our hope in is not about escaping. It's not about escapism. It's not about escaping all that hardship and that suffering and that terribleness, if that's even a word. It's about victory. And we may long for a hope that makes everything easier, offers us escape, erases suffering, but that's not what our faith teaches us, amen? Jesus isn't some Superman or Batman figure that comes and just to rescue us from all of that. No, he gives us hope so that we can persevere through all of that. Amen. Because what we see in Jesus' life is that he doesn't escape that. Jesus' victory takes him through suffering. It takes him through obscurity, poverty, injustice, evil, death. This is the life that he led. And I remember my mentor saying to me recently, "Jesus was given a crown of thorns. Why do we believe that we're going to receive a crown of roses?" No, that's coming. Amen. The final restoration of all things. But Romans 5:3-4 tells us, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I love that translation of Romans 3:5. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope not only survives, but it grows through challenge. Amen. Have you found that in your life? Jesus gives us hope so that we can move through the yuck stuff of this world. He gives us hope so we can persevere, that we can get through it all, knowing that there is restoration coming. Hope opens us up to a future because we have confidence in Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he promises us. Hope is not about escaping, but it's about victory. It's victory over death, victory over suffering. And finally, hope gives us courage to take risk. Hope can motivate us to take a risk or to do something we find fearful. We know that in our efforts, our struggles, our suffering, it will be worth it. It will be rewarded. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One and treat him as a holy master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect." Hope gives us courage to take risk, and sometimes that risk may be sharing your faith, amen? It takes courage to share our faith, which we've been looking at, to share the hope of salvation that we have in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what we want to encourage each and every one of us to be doing over this Christmas season is to take that risk, amen? To take that step of courage. And I want to challenge us, I want to encourage us this Christmas to invite your friends, your neighbors, your family members to worship with us on a Sunday morning. Imagine if every single one of us just tried to encourage one of our neighbors or friends along. Yeah, they may say no. But imagine if we get 3 or 4 or 5 people say yes. How encouraging would that be? So this is the challenge that we have with this series, Hope for a Change, or Good News for a Change, sorry. We want to be sharing this good news of Jesus this Christmas, amen? This is the perfect opportunity. People are more receptive and open to hearing about Jesus Christ at this time. And we want to facilitate that process to be a little bit easy. And what we've done for you guys today, if you wish, there's some flyers inviting your friends, your families, your neighbors to our Christmas service on Christmas Day, 9 a.m. But if you hand it out to them, you've got to make sure you're here too, amen? No point people rocking up and no one here to love them and make them feel welcome. So there's some flyers, and this can obviously be a conversation starter. This is our Christmas service. Would you like to come? Oh, you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. I love Jesus. This is what my life is all about. So that's a simple conversation starter there. There's some flyers at the front if you want to take them with you. Hand them out to your neighbors. We'll print off some more for next week. The other thing is a gift voucher to give to your neighbors and your friends to the food trucks next week. $10 gift voucher. What we ask you to do is to pay $10, which will go towards obviously paying for the food trucks when they hand this voucher in. But if you wanted to grab one for your neighbors, you can pass that along, hand it to them. They can come along and enjoy a $10 discount on their food that they buy. This is a real simple way that we can get people engaging with us and giving us opportunities to share our faith. So Peter will have those up the back. And you can grab one of these or a couple to give to those in need maybe that you know are suffering or struggling this Christmas, most importantly. But a great practical tool to be able to invite them along and spend some time with them next Friday night. And we encourage you, if you do purchase one, just put your name on the back. So if they don't turn up, we know if they've cashed it in, if your name's on the back. But if they don't cash it in, then we can give you money back, all the money. You can donate that to go to mission. So there's a couple of simple strategies to invite people along. And if you're not going to be here Christmas Day, invite them next Sunday. Invite them the Sunday after that. But this is a challenge and an encouragement to us this Christmas to be taking that step of faith, to taking that step of boldness and courage and sharing the good news that we have in Jesus Christ this Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father God, as we reflect on the hope that we have in you, we thank you for what that hope brings. It brings eternal life. It brings hope of a future of no suffering, no illness, no sickness, Lord. And we yearn for that. We yearn for that time where every tear will be wiped away. And Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to move in the life of us now as a church. That we would take that risk, that we would take that step of faith to share the good news of Jesus Christ this Christmas. We thank you for the great God that you are. And as we as a church come to celebrate you, we pray for restoration, we pray for healing, we pray that as we worship you this Christmas, that it would fill us afresh with joy, peace, hope, love, everything that Christmas is about and what you came to bring. So Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for being able to share this meal together. And we pray, Lord God, your blessing over us as we continue to enjoy fellowship and then come to our AGM after this time. We pray this in your Son's mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys.